Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Okay, we're going to welcome everybody to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson. So, gentlemen, we're going to institute a new rule here on the show.
Okay.
Going forward, I will fact-check you.
Okay.
I will fact-check each of you.
Real time.
And also, I have the ability right here to cut your mic off. So, just be prepared.
Oh, okay? Boy.
Is that debatable?
Good one, Fred. That was a good one. All right, lots to talk about, which is a good thing because this is an hour and a half talk show. So if we run out of things to talk about,
it gets pretty awkward.
Yeah.
It gets weird.
We start trading recipes, but I have none to
share.
No, I have none to share. So last night was the first and only debate between the two vice presidential candidates, right, Fred?
Yeah, and I think there was usually the vice presidential debates are kind of downplayed as in its importance.
They don't put them against Monday Night Football, put it that way.
No, for a reason.
Yeah.
But I think this one gained some importance because there was a lot of controversy coming out of the presidential candidate debate between Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump because of the fact-checking issue, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it had a larger-than-usual audience last night. The morning after assessment, even from other networks, this debate was sponsored by CBS. The morning after assessment is that J.D. Vance did very well and that Governor Tim Walz, Kamala Harris's running mate, not so much. Whether it moves the needle on the polls, we don't know. We'll wait and see for 3-4 days and see what happens. But it was interesting. Now, here's, you mentioned about as far as fact-checking. There was an agreement between Vance's people, Walz's people, and CBS that there would be no fact-checking, as we saw in the presidential debate. However, there was a moment when the two CBS anchors, at least one of them, kind of broke that rule. Want to play?
I just forgot. Okay, I'm just kidding.
Okay,
I'm just kidding.
Okay, CBS fan.
That's right.
By the way, let me just say this so folks will know.
Yes,
Wesley, was that like a, what was that?
That was an alarm to be on the program, and I'm here. So,
okay, I just didn't want Israel having the wrong target. Yes, that's the only thing I was worried about. And that alarm goes off, I'm a little worried.
You think I should take off my pager?
Speaking about that alarm, it's only there to annoy my brother, whose office is beside mine. I could choose any other alarm.
Oh, but that volume, panic alarm?
Yeah, but the panic alarm, Walker can't stand. And so that's the reason
I don't like
there.
It either. It makes me think the world's over. That's what people heard in the background right there for just a moment. I wanted to say this, that Wesley and Fred watched the whole debate.
Yes.
Ed and I have only watched clips.
Right.
Is that right?
That's correct.
So just wanted to make sure everybody knew that.
I had a prearranged events to go to last night and could not get out of it.
And when Italians have a prearranged event, being in quotations,
we show up.
It includes
to go
food.
To.
Yeah, an event, quote unquote.
And it wasn't a hockey game.
Right.
It was not a hockey game, although my team did play last night. I didn't watch it.
Right.
Because I had a event to go
but
to.
But it was preseason.
It was preseason.
All right, so go ahead, Fred.
Anyway, with regards to the promise not to fact check, about halfway through the debate, I guess it was, that promise kind of got broken by one of the CBS moderators. So I want you to hear a little bit of this. Cut number one.
And just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status. Right. temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret, but
thank you, Senator. We have so much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important because
we're going to turn out of the economy. Thank you,
Margaret. The rules were that you guys weren't going to fact check, and since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on. So there's an application called the CBP One app, where you can go on as an illegal migrant, apply for asylum or apply for parole, and be granted legal status at the wave of a Kamala Harris open border wand. That is not a person coming in, applying for a green card and waiting for 10 years. That
Thank
is
you,
the
Senator.
Facilitation of illegal immigration, Margaret, by
Thank
our
you,
own
Thank you, Senator, for
leadership.
Describing the legal process.
Laws,
we have so much to get to, Senator.
Those laws have been on the books since 1990.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The CBP One app has not been on the books
since 1990. It's something that Kamala Harris created, Margaret.
Gentlemen, you're...
That's where they cut his mic. You were asking before.
Right. Yes.
They cut his mic because he only was responding because they fact checked.
Yeah. And I think to put it all into context, they were talking about the 20% of the 20,000 Haitians that have moved into an Ohio town.
Springfield.
There's been a lot of talk about that. And what she was trying to argue was they're not illegal immigrants. They are legal immigrants. What he is pointing out is, and he used the term, I think, thanks to Kamala Harris's magic wand.
Right.
Because what has happened under the Biden administration, there's a little app that these folks approaching our southern border can put on their phones.
These desperate people with cell phones who can download an app.
Yes. Yeah. And they can press that app, and up pops a little form that they can fill out saying, I'm being persecuted in my country of origin. I'm seeking asylum. They waltz up to the border. They show this to the Border Patrol. Bang, you're in.
Without the hearing
yes.
that would determine whether or not asylum is a legitimate claim
yes.
for those people coming into the country.
So that's
we'll figure that out later, Ed.
So that's yes. what that's what J.D. Vance is pointing out.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And trying to explain.
Yes. yes.
Because it technically is a legal status for these 20,000 Haitian immigrants. But it's only technically legal because the Biden administration, Biden-Harris, are letting them flood in.
Yes.
And they're saying, okay, you're not technically illegal, we'll stamp it, but
right.
they're flooding across the border
I yeah. think really,
and eating cats.
I think that's right. I think what really hurt the moderators there is not people that were following the content and trying to hear both sides and trying to make, you know, trying to follow the debate side of things. They really sided quickly with J.D. Vance here because whatever side you're on, because he pointed out that we discussed the rules before. You're not supposed to fact check. And so right. I think when he exposed that and then they went further, because that's the reason they were about to move on. They were done with that. But because she fact checked him, that's the reason he felt obligated to respond to that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, cutting the mic at the end made things look a little worse.
And I'll say this. This is what I don't like about fact checking. Okay. First of all, it's not the job of the moderators.
Correct.
If Tim Walz wants to, quote unquote, fact check his
opponent.
Vice presidential opponent.
Sure.
That's for him to do.
Yeah.
But second of all, it is usually just a matter of opinion that these moderators are fact checking. And this is what I mean. So let me just bring a little college football in because that always clarifies things, okay? Ole Miss plays Kentucky. If I say I think Ole Miss played a great game and they probably shouldn't have lost, and then Tim says, well, I don't think they played a great game because in the fourth quarter, X, Y, and Z happened. That's a difference of opinion. And that's what these moderators do.
Mm-hmm.
They quote unquote fact check the Republican
yeah.
on a matter of opinion,
yes.
claiming it's a fact that
yeah.
they got wrong.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they did there. Another thing they did throughout the debate, and we got some more clips we can get to, is it was so obvious that every time J.D. Vance would finish, they would turn to Walz and say, "How would you like to? Would you like a minute to respond to his allegations?" But any time it was the other way around, it was. Would you like to respond?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Term allegations. It's like Vance
may or may not be true.
Right, may or may not be true.
Yes, yes.
Governor Walz, would you like to clarify?
So that? Are you guys saying, having watched the debate, and I know both you guys are conservatives, so
sure.
you have that you have that particular bias to consider. But would you say, trying to be as objective as possible, that it was that the two moderators were clearly liberal?
Yeah, they're a couple of left-wingers.
Yep.
Can you be more clear on your view of that? They're a couple of, are they?
They were right away, a number of the network, well, certainly Fox last night in the assessment, but I watched the whole thing. They were liberals. And here's my evidence to that, all right? I do have some backing of it. Yeah, they agreed not to fact check. But I would say 95% of the questions were framed by the moderators as an attack against Donald Trump.
Listen, I think for 2028, assuming our country is still here, okay, I think whoever the conservatives are, Republicans, they ought to say, whoever the presidential nominee is, I'll do two debates, one on Fox News, and then one on one of your, basically your leftist networks, because I know I'll only get a fair shake on one network. Mm-hmm. And if that's not good enough for you, then there'll be no debates.
Yeah.
I think they ought to do that, because this is now the second time we had one, I thought, fair debate. That was the CNN debate. And of course, CNN got shellacked by the leftists saying, you know, you should have fact checked Trump. Mm. Okay. And then now we've had an ABC and a CBS debate that were not conducted fairly.
No.
But what I'm hearing, even with that said, you guys who watched the whole debate said J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio, Trump's pick for VP, did very, very well.
His composure was phenomenal.
Yes.
His ability to be able to stay focused on the numbers or the facts, and also be able to articulate them in a way that was simple and easy to understand. He was
much like I do each day on this show. Right? I mean,
exactly.
I'm not trying to steal the spotlight here. I'm just
We all recognize it.
We all know when we hear politicians, we all kind of expect or bake in or anticipate the sensationalizing of everything. This side's the devil. This side's the devil.
Right.
J.D. Vance didn't pull that. He didn't pull that all night, and I thought he did a really good job. Now, do we have the clip about with his response on the deportation question? Chris Woodward pulled that one. Do we have a number for that?
Things better.
Yes,
we do.
Okay,
we do. We do have that.
What are we about to hear?
This is Vance when asked about mass deportations. You know that former President Trump on the campaign trail has said if he's reelected as president, he plans a mass deportation of people who have entered the country illegally.
It'll be huge. Nothing like a scene in history.
All right. So I wasn't surprised. That was one of the questions coming from these liberal moderators with regards challenging Vance on what Trump has said about.
And I think it's a fair question.
Sure.
For the moderators to ask if they asked it fairly.
Yes. Cut number 7.
What do we do with them? I think the first thing that we do is we start with the criminal migrants. About 1 million of those people have committed some form of crime in addition to crossing the border illegally. I think you start with deportations on those folks. And then I think you make it harder for illegal aliens to undercut the wages of American workers. A lot of people will go home if they can't work for less than minimum wage in our own country. And by the way, that'll be really good for our workers who just want to earn a fair wage for doing a good day's work. And the final point, Margaret, is you ask about family separation. Right now in this country, Margaret, we have 320,000 children that the Department of Homeland Security has effectively lost. Some of them have been sex trafficked. Some of them hopefully are at homes with their families. Some of them have been used as drug trafficking mules. The real family separation policy in this country is unfortunately Kamala Harris's wide open southern border. And I'd ask my fellow Americans to remember when she came into office, she said she was going to do this. Real leadership would be saying, you know what? I screwed up. We're going to go back to Donald Trump's border policies. I wish that she would do that. It would be good for all of us.
That's an excellent answer.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've read some of these exchanges, the transcripts or the media coverage in articles. Hearing him say that it's clear that, like you said, Wesley.
You're telling his voice composure.
He's composed, and he was prepared. Okay. He was prepared for the question and the counterpunching.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because he not only, I think, characterized the Trump position as something that's doable, mm-hmm. but then he threw the ball back into Kamala Harris's court, put her on the spot.
I like the plain speak when he says, look, if she would just say, look, we tried it. It didn't work. We're going to go back and do it the way it was originally. You know what I mean?
Right.
Hey, listen, don't forget, we talked about this a week or so ago, and we can't, this is radio, so we can't show you, but there was a video made of Kamala Harris back, I don't know, not 2018 or six, maybe it was leading up to the 2020 Democratic. We remember where they were all running
the primary.
Primary.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a video of her at some rally where they're chanting. They're chanting education, education, no deportation.
That's right.
Now, I've got it. That isn't exactly how it went, but in essence, that's what they were saying. They wanted something to rhyme. That's how these lefties do. They're good at picking something to rhyme to make their point. I give them credit on that.
Sure.
So as I said, education, education, no deportation. Yeah. And she was seen doing a little jig, okay? Mm-hmm. It was a...
Like a dance?
A little dance, that, like, you know, like honeybees do. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever seen a honeybee do?
No.
Yeah, I have. The little figure eight thing?
Yeah, they do. She was doing a little figure eight and raising her hand. She was chanting like she was at a pep rally.
Yeah.
And what she was chanting, what she was saying with her words and her actions were, I'm against deportation at all.
Yes.
Let them all come in. I don't give a rip because it's immoral to stop people from around the world who want to come to America. That's why I'm against, I'm just telling you what her actions and words have said. She's against a wall. She's against anything at all to keep. This is the path that Biden and Harris chose.
Yeah.
They said, we're going to reverse everything Donald Trump's done.
He pointed
the border.
J.D. Vance pointed out it was over 95 executive orders.
It
had to do with the protection of the southern border.
The border. Yeah. So listen, the I know people vote on presidential elections multi reasons. Okay, people have economy, crime, whatever the border. I'm just telling you. I think it's absolutely fair to say this. If you want an attempt to control our borders so that we know who's coming into our country and we still have a legal process, then Trump Vance is the people who are the two people who represent law and order on the border. If you want people just to continue to flood in here from around the world, you don't care, and you know that's your right. If you don't care, and the impact that millions and millions and millions of people here illegally are going to have on our way of life, especially in the coming months and years, then you need to vote for Harris and Waltz, because they have been those are the positions that these two parties hold. Go ahead, Wes.
And just to back up, the main reason I wanted to pull that clip, and the one thing I wanted to emphasize, is what he said that should be bipartisan, that should be across the board, and that's that he said, let's start with, you want to talk about...
Democrats and Republicans?
Yeah, he said, let's start with the 1 million illegal immigrants that have a criminal record. Let's just start there. Now, we know there's 25 million in the last whatever decade that's here illegally, but what he's saying...
Can we agree on this?
Can we take the 1 million that have a criminal record and send them back?
Well... You know, to be honest with you, I know I'm getting too technical here. I don't know if I want them sent back,
okay.
Those people. I understand what he's saying
here. Sure.
I think if you commit a felony.
No, but he's saying I think I know where you're going with this, but he's saying that they've got a criminal record, but that doesn't mean.
I agree. I know what he's saying. Yeah. I don't think the Democrats care. whether you have a record or not. Sending somebody back to some country is
I know you and I've discussed they need to be prosecuted here in the States. I agree with that if they committed a crime in the States. Yeah. But after they've been prosecuted and they've been let go, he's saying send those back.
I've got the way to do it. I can solve this problem, okay, in 24 hours. No, I'm just kidding.
Change the definition of what an illegal immigrant.
No. Listen, first, President Trump, I don't know what kind of plans he's got. But first of all, I don't think the American people want to see federal agents breaking into houses and hauling, people
from
Ecuador.
Trump said that the other day. He walked his position back on that.
The people aren't going to stand for that. It looks horrible. Okay, so you've got to make people go back voluntarily, and here's how you do it. Okay, first of all, you shut down. You absolutely control the border so that what I'm about to say doesn't incentivize other people to scramble up here and come in. And then you say, in 6 months, we're going to give you 6 months, and if you don't have an E-Verify number, no one's going to hire you. If anyone hires you, and we find out about it, we'll find the employer. We're going to give you a check for $1,000 or whatever to cover your expenses going back home. And in 6 months, you do not have access to welfare or our hospitals. We're giving you 6 months.
Okay.
You go back. I don't care if it's $2,000. It's still cheaper than funding. And then you tell them you have to go back and then reapply. And we'll decide
now that's,
at the
that's
border.
Some comprehensive immigration reform I can get behind.
Yeah, it's humane.
Yeah.
You're paying their way back, but you're also de-incentivizing people hiring them here in this country because, like J.D. Vance said, they are undercutting a lot of the wages for American workers.
We haven't given Waltz any time here. So we need to give Governor Waltz some fair time here without cutting off his mic.
We can do that because
what are we going to hear?
One of the other expected questions from these liberal moderators was about January 6th.
Yeah.
Good.
We knew that was coming.
Good. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here we go. Here's Governor Tim Walz and Vance discussing that. Cut number two.
This was a threat to our democracy in a way that we had not seen. And it manifested itself because of Donald Trump's inability to say. He is still saying he didn't lose the election. I would just ask that. Did he lose the 2020 election?
Tim, I'm focused on the future. Did Kamala Harris censor Americans from speaking their mind in the wake of the 2020 COVID situation?
That is a damning non-answer.
It's a damning non-answer for you to not talk about censorship. Obviously, Donald Trump and I think that there were problems in 2020. We've talked about it. I'm happy to talk about it further. But you guys attack us for not believing in democracy. The most sacred right under the United States democracy is the First Amendment. You yourself have said there's no First Amendment right to misinformation.
That's a good exchange.
Yes.
Listen, that's the kind of exchange I like to see in debates because Vance did not answer the question at first. Okay. He circled back around and came back to it. That's a good exchange. Mm-hmm. I like to see that. And that's the kind of thing where I'm glad the moderators stayed out. That's helpful. Well, for voters.
Well, Vance, and again, he was well prepared. If you want to talk about threats to democracy, talk about what you have said about the First Amendment. Talk about John Kerry, what he has said about the First Amendment.
Hillary Clinton,
exactly. So Vance was ready for this.
I also think, I read about this, I have not seen the clip. Vance, when Tim Walz said that his son had witnessed the school shooting, Did you guys read that?
Yes.
Yeah.
It seemed like J.D. Vance took a compassionate approach and said, man, I'm sorry.
Yes, he did.
Sorry that that happened.
He did. Yeah.
That I think people appreciate kind of compassion.
Yeah. You'd have to get into some more details here for this to make sense, but he did find some common ground as much as he could with Waltz.
Yeah.
You guys are saying Vance did very well and helped President Trump's campaign. That's what you guys
I would
are saying.
Say he is an A+ and Waltz was about a C-. Waltz did not just completely fail, but he did not have the performance.
Right. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Could the fate of America's children be tied to the fate of our nation? Much like abortionists who end the lives of the unborn, the left is determined to undermine the pro-life movement. First, they target the babies. Then, they come for the rest of us. Preborn stands as a beacon of hope for the most defenseless among us, preborn babies. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues, on average, over 200 babies while surrounding expectant mothers with God's love and offering a free ultrasound. Rescuing the miracle of life has never been more crucial as we navigate this time of moral decline in our nation. Will you join Preborn in protecting the least among us? For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and give a mother the chance to choose life, not only for her baby, but for herself. An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. We got a lot more to cover. We've got what's going on in Israel. We have the dock workers that are on strike and what that's going to mean for all of us if it continues. And we had the vice presidential debate last night, which we've spent the first half hour talking about. Wesley and Fred watched the whole thing, and they think it was a net positive for Senator Vance.
And the Trump campaign.
And so Waltz, the governor from Minnesota, you said C-minus, Wesley?
Yeah, C-minus, C-plus.
Yeah, so, C's. I would agree.
Like me in chemistry?
Or me in English.
Yeah, me, yes. You were that bad in English?
Uh-huh, it was bad.
I just bypassed me. I must have been
And that was trying and hard work.
Yeah. I mean, well, at least you put in the work.
Yeah, well, I did. It wasn't a lack of effort.
Right.
your response is C or C-minus, kind of like how me did in English?
Yes, like a me did in English. Well played. Well done.
All right, so what are we about?
I love you, man.
We got one or two more clips here.
Yes.
And then we're going to move on.
Yeah. Again, this was an expected subject to come up. And the moderators tied it to Helene and the horrific results, Hurricane Helene. But they said Hurricane Helene, an example of what man-made climate change is doing to our country. And they said the scientists agree that climate change is behind these kinds of storms. Well, so they challenged J.D. Vance on this.
Here we go.
And this is how it all came out. Cut number four.
A lot of people are justifiably worried about all these crazy weather patterns. I think it's important for us, first of all, to say Donald Trump and I support clean air, clean water. We want the environment to be cleaner and safer. But one of the things that I've noticed some of our Democratic friends talking a lot about is a concern about carbon emissions, this idea that carbon emissions drives all of the climate change. Well, let's just say that's true, just for the sake of argument, so we're not arguing about weird science. Let's just say that's true. Well, if you believe that, what would you want to do? The answer is that you'd want to reshore as much American manufacturing as possible, and you'd want to produce as much energy as possible in the United States of America, because we're the cleanest economy in the entire world. What have Kamala Harris's policies actually led to? More energy production in China, more manufacturing overseas, more doing business in some of the dirtiest parts of the entire world. And when I say that, I mean the amount of carbon emissions they're doing per unit of economic output.
That's a good answer.
Again, yes, it is.
That's a good answer. And by the way, this storm, as tragic as it has been, Hurricane Helene, they're talking about it's the worst, could be the worst in 55 years, which means 55 years ago, there was another one like it.
Right.
Okay, and this is part of
the... It's not unprecedented.
It's not unprecedented, and the point they're all making is that climate change is driving these... We've all heard the experts saying, no, these are cyclical weather patterns. It's not because of
me driving an SUV, right, or a van.
But J.D. Vance's answer, that was a good one, because he is trying to point out that the argument only seems to be applied here in the United States. Let's destroy the American economy,
right,
to save the planet. When it's not going to save the planet, it's only going to destroy the American economy.
Yes. Yeah.
While they're making deals with countries that don't care.
Yes.
About.
Right.
About the clean energy.
Yeah,
clean
let's air. Ship all our manufacturing over to China.
Right.
Who is, as he said, one of the dirtiest in terms of carbon emissions in the world.
This is, we've talked about this issue before. This, the reason Democrats and some Republicans, but... here's what they do with that issue. It's kind of what Vance was saying, but it's meant to make people like us who listen, and we may disagree in this room. I don't think we do, but I don't believe in man-made global warming. All right. There may be global warming going on, but it's not man-made. And if it is man-made, Wesley, I'm going to borrow your English here. It ain't Americans, right. Okay? Because the two largest polluters in the world are India and China. So Tim Walz, Kamala Harris, if you want to go negotiate or talk to somebody about polluting the planet, go talk to the people that are really doing it. Because as Senator Vance says, we, the United States of America, we're the cleanest in country in the world in terms of what we expect from businesses and to keep people from polluting.
We're not even in the top 15.
No, we're the best.
Yeah.
We're the model for the world. So there's really not anything else to do
right
about us being responsible for climate change, except they want to create panic among people. So here's why I think what their end goal is with the panic. And by they, I mean most of the Democrats, the environmental Rush Limbaugh called them environmental wackos. They want to use this to control the American economy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Control our energy, what we make, how much energy, what we, you know, what kind of energy we have, what we can, automobiles,
right,
all these things. They want to control that in those industries. How do you do that? Well, you scare the mess out of people and tell them, you're driving a car that uses gasoline. You're causing hurricanes.
Right.
You're, right. Huh? Right. This is the leap they make.
No, I know.
This is the leap they make. And I would just, one other thing. Is my voice rising?
Just a little bit.
Am I getting worked up? Have I gone from a category 2 to a 5?
No. We would stop you before you got there. We wouldn't let you to category 3. Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is there have always been hurricanes, and there always will be hurricanes. As long as the weather and the globe is like it is, all right? And so every time there's a storm now, they may say, well, this caused unprecedented damage to, and listen, no doubt, you look at the destruction that was caused by the flooding mainly, yes, but they want to say it caused so many billions of dollars in damage, never been done before. Look at what climate change is doing because Republicans vote against controlling gasoline. I mean, this is how they stack things up. And I would just say, you know why the dollar amounts matter? Because people have built things that were destroyed that weren't here 100 years ago.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And there probably were no insurance companies. So when you throw out unprecedented financial
loss
because of a storm,
that's a good point.
You have to factor in
the cost of things today.
Yeah.
Well, that and the development of what's taken place from that previous hurricane
right
to now, because we've developed, we've grown.
Like along the Florida coast,
it's
completely different. Let me just respect,
are you going to add to what I said?
I'm just going to respectfully disagree with one of the things you just said, okay, right. Because you're citing the left and right. Saying.
I was going to invite you to lunch, but go ahead.
You said they use weather events like this hurricane to prove the point of about climate change. And here's my disagreement. Except when it snows. Okay? You remember all those times they had those climate change conferences and conventions?
Yeah.
And it was global warming back then, and they'd have it, and then it would be snowed in. And people would make fun of the global warming conference because it got snowed out. And they would say, you can't compare weather to climate. When it snowed, they said, no, that's weather.
Yeah.
We're talking about climate change. So you remember, you guys remember? That's what they used to do. But
they
when
started
it's hurricanes,
off with global warming.
Yes.
Wait, you're serious.
I'm serious. When it's hurricanes, they say, see, weather events prove climate change. You guys kind of get where I'm coming from?
Yeah. And they also make Republicans, in this case, J.D. Vance, they put him on the defensive. It's a 3-on-1 right there because they're going to say, like she said, all the scientists say that global warming is or climate change is causing these hurricanes like the ones Americans are suffering from right now. This is the implication. So, J.D. Vance, you hillbilly.
Right.
You don't believe the scientists, do you? You're smarter than the scientists? What do you say to that? That's the position that he's put
and
in.
And you know what's fundamentally unfair about framing the question that way? Is because first, J.D. Vance has to answer her assumption that all scientists agree.
Yes.
He's got to answer that first because it's a loaded question. She should have said, do you believe that this hurricane is an example of climate change, and what do you think we should do about climate change? No, first she says all scientists agree that these weather events are proof. So it's fundamentally unfair, but that's what we've come to expect from the mainstream media.
And by the way, and I'll get the exact date that this happened. I believe it was in 2007. 31,000 scientists across the United States signed a petition saying that humans do not cause global warming.
Yes.
So she reported the whatever scientists she wanted to report.
Right.
Of course.
But that there was 31,000 scientists across the United States that signed a petition saying that they believe that the global warming was not caused by humans.
She was quoting the scientists that fly in on their private jets.
Yes. Bingo, Fred. Bingo.
That's right.
One other thing. I think it would have been funny had J.D. Vance said, I think we should take note that this particular hurricane, which has done untold damage to our fellow Americans, happened under Harris's watch.
Yes.
Huh?
Right.
And she's been here 3.5 years. And
he did that quite a bit. He didn't do it on that one. But
She's been in office 3.5 years, and we have this hurricane hit. She could have stopped it.
Right.
3.5 years she's had an opportunity to stop this hurricane, and she hasn't done it.
Right.
I think Fred's got one more before we move on.
Go ahead.
Well, to your point, there was a couple of times last night when, of course, Tim Walz was talking about what a Harris-Walz administration is going to do for this country. Opportunity, economy, blah, 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 blah.
Holistically speaking.
Yes.
Well played, Ed.
We're going to do all these good things. Well, here's how Vance responded to that a couple of times. And let me just summarize by saying what Vance is going to say. You've been in office for almost 4 years. Why haven't you done it? Cut number 6.
You ought to be able to afford to buy a house. You ought to be able to live in safe neighborhoods. You ought to not have your communities flooded with fentanyl. And that, too, has gotten harder with Kamala because of Kamala Harris's policies. Now, I've been in politics long enough to do what Kamala Harris does when she stands before the American people and says that on day one, she's going to work on all these challenges I just listed. She's been the vice president for 3.5 years. Day one was 1,400 days ago, and her policies have made these problems worse.
That is what
Trump should have said that.
Yes. That's the Trump Vance message should be that.
It's obvious that Vance sat down or obviously watched the debate with President Trump and Harris and said, hey, what are some things we can learn from here?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Hey, we poor Governor Walz, we've not given him any audio, have we?
We can.
Well, I think we need to let him roll.
Okay. Are you sure?
Let's go.
All right.
Let's be fair. And balanced.
Here we go.
What are we
We were trying to help him.
By keeping him off?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, what are we about to hear, Fred? And then we'll move on.
Here we go. Well, at one point, the moderators did their job last night.
Okay.
Fair and balanced for a second. Because Governor Tim Walz has talked about being in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square uprising.
Which was 89.
Which was not in Hong Kong. It was in Beijing.
It was in Beijing.
Yeah.
So Beijing. Even some liberal media have now been questioning what his claim of being in Hong Kong when these protests were going on. So he was challenged on this last night. This is how it sounded. Cut number three.
Governor Walz, you said you were in Hong Kong during the deadly Tiananmen Square protests in the spring of 1989. But Minnesota Public Radio and other media outlets are reporting that you actually didn't travel to Asia until August of that year. Can you explain that discrepancy?
Yeah, well, and to the folks out there who didn't get at the top of this, look, I grew up in small rural Nebraska, town of 400, town that you rode your bike with your buddies till the streetlights come on, and I'm proud of that service.
Governor, just to follow up on that, the question was, can you explain the discrepancy?
All I said on this was, is I got there that summer and misspoke on this, so I will just, that's what I've said. So I was in Hong Kong and China during the democracy protest went in. And from that, I learned a lot of what needed to be in governance.
Okay.
That was like my 9-year-old son when I asked him, did he get in trouble at school?
Yeah.
And he begins to explain to me, he did, but he didn't, but he did.
Right.
But when that serious,
Dad,
did you get in trouble or not?
In a middle class family.
Right.
Well, now we did cut out a lot.
We saved him
because he went on and on and on,
right,
talking about his past.
Yeah.
Before he even got to attempting to answer the question, she had to come back and ask.
Yeah, he never did answer at the first point, mm-hmm. and then she came back and she said, "Governor, you know, that's not the question.
No.
I don't care if you worked at McDonald's."
Well, I think he said people don't care about this. Yeah, I told a whopper right there, but people know me. I was elected 3 times since that happened, and nobody cares. And he's probably right about that.
Yeah. And let me just say this: I would accept his explanation that he was in the vicinity.
Yeah, like a continent away.
Yes, he was. Well, I mean, he was in the vicinity during the summer of the protest.
You wanted to use the word
that'd
continent.
Be fine. If he has not already told other whoppers, like carrying a weapon of war in wartime.
Yep, he did do that, too.
Okay, and so I'm thinking, okay, one, I'll give you a pass, okay, but you're consistently telling whoppers, and so are you misspeaking or are you lying?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't tell the difference. I don't know where that line
Biden
is.
He's made a life of telling whoppers.
Yeah, you could just check with Corn Pop about that.
All right, go ahead, Fred. All right, listen, let me just say you're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of the show on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred, as always, we thank you for listening. On a more serious note, I mean, not that the vice presidential debate was not serious, but what's happening in the Middle East right now, the world is watching now, Fred.
Yeah, 24 hours ago, the skies over Israel were lit up with more than 100 missiles coming in from Iran. And we can report that Israel was able to respond, intercept those missiles that were coming in. As far as we know, as of this morning, no one was killed by those missile strikes. But what we are looking at today is that Prime Minister Netanyahu has promised within an hour after those missiles coming in, and it was around, I think, 8 or 9 in the evening in Israel when this began to happen, that Israel will respond. Now, he has made good on those threats to respond. When it comes to Hamas, when it comes to Hezbollah in Lebanon, and the expectation now is that Israel will make good on that response. Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, who, by the way, also sits on the Senate Armed Services Committee, was asked about all this morning. Cut number eight.
Well, it's important that the United States support Israel to defend against missile attacks, but that's defense, and you can't win wars on the defense. In Iran, or Israel is in a multi-front war against Iran and its ring of fire. Now, yesterday, the veil dropped when Iran attacked Israel for the second time this year directly, but Hamas is backed by Iran. Hezbollah is fully backed by Iran. Iran has a terror army in Yemen that shoots missiles at Israel. Israel, though, has a chance after its accomplishments against Hezbollah in the last 3 weeks to totally remake the strategic map in the Middle East. Hezbollah has over 100,000 missiles and rockets. That's been like a loaded gun pointed at Israel's head for years. That's been Iran's main deterrent. But because Israel so thoroughly penetrated Hezbollah, because it's decapitated Hezbollah's leadership, now, by some reports, it's destroyed over half of that arsenal. It has a chance to totally expose Iran on its flanks. The United States needs to back Israel to the hilt. That's the opposite of what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have done for the last year, putting more pressure on Israel than they do on Iran's terror network.
That was Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas commenting yesterday on the attacks from Iran on Israel shooting. I want to talk about this spiritually, but let me ask you this. A few months ago, the Iranians sent drones from Iran to Israel, and Israel shot all of them down.
Yes.
Or did something to deactivate. I don't know. But they had no effect. And there were, hundreds of them or thousands. I don't know how many. Now, these weapons that were used yesterday from Iran were what exactly?
They were missiles. They were rockets.
Which is different than a drone. Rocket.
Well, they're ballistic missiles. So a ballistic missile goes up and then comes down. Rockets are on you fire them and then they gravity brings them down. Ballistic missiles go up and then kind of an elliptical, and missiles are more powerful and have greater range.
So how many were fired?
200. 200
at least
ballistic
200.
Missiles.
Okay. In the initial attack, you mentioned drones. The drones travel at a relatively slower speed. It took the drones in that initial, it was in July, it took them 2 hours to get from Iran to Israel. So Israel, with its intelligence, saw it coming. So they were prepared. These missiles travel from Iran to Israel in a matter of moments.
How come they didn't kill anybody? I mean, good night. You're talking about
because
missiles?
A lot of them were shot down.
Iron Dome. You also have David Sling, which is an Israeli-developed anti-missile interception type mechanism.
And
the U.S. has several destroyers parked in the eastern end of the Mediterranean. And so just off of Haifa and some of those cities there in northern Israel, they also sent intercepting missiles to knock down those Iranian missiles.
Okay. Now, I wanted to talk about this spiritually. And what I'm about to say, I have no proof of. It's my opinion.
Right.
Okay. It's my opinion. Well, I say I have no proof of. I'll let the jury decide.
Right.
Okay. Let you be the jury. Almighty God is protecting Israel.
Amen.
I think that's right. I believe that.
Wesley, you don't care about that?
No, I do care. But I wanted to hear you completely out.
Well, it was a short sentence.
I don't want to interrupt.
It was a short sentence.
Are you done there?
Well, they gave me an amen, and I was looking for you for an amen, and I didn't hear one.
Amen.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so.
I'm fact-checking
here.
That's what I'm doing.
You're going to check with God. Okay. Because, listen. How else do you explain the fact that all this weaponry has been fired at Israel? Now, some of it, what happened on October 7th last year, did happen, and Israelis died, were murdered and slaughtered. That did happen. But I'm talking about with these weapons of harm and attack, missiles, all these drones coming in from Iran, and they're all shot down out of the sky. That is miraculous, in my opinion. I mean, you're talking about, you said 200 Ballistic missiles?
Ballistic missiles, maybe more.
Now, I read where maybe one landed and either injured or hurt an Arab man, a Palestinian man.
Yes, okay.
That's what I read. But I can only this is what I believe, and I think that evidence is there. Now, I know a lot of people, if you don't believe in God, you're just saying, well, that's good defense by the Israelis and with some help from the Americans, but not to the degree where the fact that they have something called an Iron Dome that has been developed and utilized with almost 100% success. That in itself, how many countries have that kind of thing? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the ability to, and when do you run out of Iron Dome weapons?
That's a good question.
Which is a possibility, which is why the U.S. has to help.
The United States of America, Turkey's threatening Israel again. The United States of America, and I don't say this just because I believe in the, as Christians, we should support Israel. But I believe that it's in our strategic interest and our the righteous thing to do is to support the nation of Israel because...
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Because they're under siege and enemies are all around. And it's like Benjamin Netanyahu said the other day. Now, do I believe Israel right or wrong? No, I don't. I don't believe in the U.S. right or wrong.
Right.
I think you can fairly criticize Israel and or the United States when mistakes are made.
You're not saying support them blindly.
No, not blindly. But I just got to look at this and go, God has protected Israel and the Holy Land from these attacks from Iran. I'll just say that, right? All right, when we get back from the break, we're going to talk some more about this because I want you guys to maybe chime in.
Okay.
We'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.